You're listening to the Binge Media Podcast Network on bingemedia.net. And now, the Binge Sportscast.
Pro sports aren't what they used to be in this season of COVID-19. Bumble playoffs, basketball, hockey, and no fans at the MLB. But when you're talking football, hard-hitting football, you know we talk that shit all night. 'Cause we're still those same old drunk-ass fanboys who never get their runtime tight. You see, the heart of the sportscast is still beating, 'cause PJ and TM are still breathing. Now the other sports can go back a seatin', 'cause the heart of the sportscast is still beating. Detroit, Jersey,
welcome everybody to the special edition of the BingeMedia.net Binge Sportscast. I'm PJ, and as always, joined by my main man, TM. TM, welcome to Championship Sunday. How
are
we doing?
Here we are. Moments after two, I think you said it perfectly in the pre-show, just frustrating games to watch. Oh, madonna me. Terrible, man. Oh, God. Yes. These coaches.
And as much as they may have been, you know, in the grasp of these teams, you know, the two losing teams at the end of the games, neither of these games were close.
No.
But yeah, so here we are. We've made it through the whole NFL season. We've got our Super Bowl matchup decided now with a home game, essentially,
for
the Tampa Bay Buccaneers versus the Kansas City Chiefs. It's just...
I can't believe it. I can't believe that Brady just won at Chicago, at New Orleans, and at Green Bay. I mean, what is happening right now? 2 weeks. That's all I can think about all day as they were winning that game is just, oh my God, 2 weeks of media coverage about Tom Brady. Oof,
yeah,
man.
That's
not looking forward to it.
Now, we obviously haven't had a Super Bowl during COVID, as you know, clearly. But I am very curious to see how this all breaks down with the media coverage. What do they call it? Just the press week, you know, the week leading up to it. And I guess we'll get into this a little bit more next week, but it's going to be very different, you know. And I think you're right where we will get that oversaturation with the Tom Brady and Mahomes shit because we were getting it the entire game from Tony Romo. You know,
horn. Why did you mention him? I was going to do my best to stay away from talking about him, but...
All right, well, let's talk about the first game of the day a little bit.
Yes.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers go into Green Bay, 3 o'clock start time, and Tampa Bay rolls in, 9-play, first drive of the game, puts home a touchdown, gets up by 7, and really just never looks back. Now, this game I was on and off watching was doing a few things around the house, but I mean, it ended up being a 5-point game, and we'll get into the reasons as to why it was a 5-point game rather than an 8-point game or an overtime victory. But I mean, what were your feelings, TM? I mean, I know we talked about it last week, but going into today, had your feelings changed at all? You know, Green Bay, Tampa Bay, what were you feeling, you know, leading into it before this game started?
I thought Packers all week. I picked the Packers. I was high on the Packers, and I definitely had a little bit of nausea every time I thought about the fact that, you know, the Bucks could actually win this game. And I kept talking it out, like the Bucks are going to run the ball a lot. You know, Fournette looked good last week, so I was like, ah, they could keep the ball out of Rodgers' hands. I figured they would keep it close, but I really thought that the Packers would just have too much by way of offense for the, you know, for this game, and they would end up winning it at home in the end. And man, I mean, you know, we could just start with the 2-minute drive to end the first half and just the absolute disaster that was for the Packers, man.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I just don't get it.
You got 8 seconds left on the clock. You're on the – or Tampa Bay's on, what, the 35 or – I don't know, whatever it was, something like that. And you know they're not going to give up points. I'm saying Tampa Bay is not going to give up the chance at getting points. So they're going to take a shot, and then they're going to kick a field goal. And what do, Green Bay? You leave your corner on an island. And first off, like, know the game. Like, know that the 48-yard field goal or whatever it had to be or was going to be isn't any different than the 35-yard field goal if the guy gets a 10-yard reception. Play the deep ball. Give them the 8-yard out. And protect your team from essentially going in a hole that you could never dig out of. But it's, I don't know, man. In watching this game, as great as Rodgers had been and even, you know, was or you know, showed flashes of today, who do they have besides Davante Adams? That team is filled with a bunch of trash.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. I mean, the running game, now Aaron Jones was completely taken out of this game, but he's a huge... huge piece. There was like a three-headed monster with him, Williams, and Dylan's like emerging in this postseason. I think he's going to end up they probably can expend Jamal Williams at this point. But, you know, I mean, Lazard, MVC, and Tanyan were good pieces. I mean,
they're okay though, but there's just no threat. There is no threat from any,
the threat
any
is
three
the
of
quarterback.
Those guys. Of course. But
well,
I think
they never rolled him out. They had one drive where they looked like the 2020 Packers. It was after the brutal turnover to open up the second half and the Bucks score. And then the Packers just made it look easy. Took 4 minutes right down the field. Bing, bing, bang, boom, touchdown. And it's like, and then they didn't do any of that again.
Right.
The rest of the game, I don't understand these coaches. I'm telling you, all day long, all I kept thinking to myself was all these NFL fucking coaches think they're so smart. Yeah. And they think they're so creative and their offenses are so just, you know,
like brilliant.
Intricate and brilliant. And they just outcoach themselves. When just take, like, we were yelling it that whole fourth quarter. I mean, you turn 3 interceptions from Brady and you don't score? I mean, that is brutal. Like, at least Buffalo, you know, fell behind. The Packers should have been up 3 scores in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Just brutal. And the same thing. I mean, hey, listen, maybe it's something to be said for Tampa's defense because, like, you know, they turned Breeze over. Breeze should have taken the lead. Brady wasn't doing anything last week, and Breeze just threw the game away. So, I don't know. Maybe Todd Bowles knows what he's doing.
Well,
but you know, I was not into any of the play calls the Packers were doing. I mean, any of these teams that are taking these shots down the field on 1st and 2nd and 10, it's like, take the yard. There are open guys right in the middle of the field. Take the 5 yards. Make the next down easier to manage. I just don't understand it.
Yeah, I you're absolutely right. These guys try too hard to be the smartest guy in the room. And if you don't have all the pieces that you need, I mean, you don't need a Pro Bowler at every position to win a Super Bowl, but you've got to make the right decisions with the guys you've got, and you've got to make timely decisions as to when to use them. And you're absolutely like, get 8 yards on first down, get 7 yards on first down, and then
take your shot.
Get anything. Yeah. The Lions are notorious for that. It's like,
but they listen, that 2 minutes at the end of the first half, that like they ran the the ball into the line for no yards, like with 2:12 to go or whatever, and then they went to the 2-minute warning. And then the Packers just lollygagged down the field. They were moving the ball, but there was no urgency whatsoever. And then he gets sacked. So you're acting like you don't even want to score a touchdown when you have 2 minutes and two timeouts or whatever they had. And then all of a sudden he gets sacked. So now you're in a third and long, and you throw, like, you try to force the ball into Lazard, and it gets picked off. Now, I was listening to the game at this point. My cousin was losing his shit, saying that it should have been pass interference. I haven't seen it, so I don't know. But that being said, you just shouldn't be throw. Like, it was a pass that shouldn't have been thrown, is my interpretation of it. And then you give them the ball at the 49-yard line, and then what you explained about the way they play, they defended that lap. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like, just, LaFleur, what are you doing, man?
Yeah. And that's and I don't even know who their DC is, but, you know, that had been the concern with them early in the season or coming into the season was their defense, and their D-line's really good, but that secondary. And that's what we have a buddy who
they have the best cornerback in football. Literally the number one ranked quarterback in the NFL.
I know.
So it's not the passing game. They have a pass rush and the best cornerback in the league. It's they can't stop the run is what the, you know, what the knock on their D is. They couldn't stop anything today.
Yeah. Just. And but they, all that being said, Tim, they got 3 turnovers. You know, they held Brady to a looking at it right now, like a 73.6, you know, QB rating. And if you the team stats, like Green Bay won in first downs, won in third down efficiency. They were essentially a push at rushing yards. They had more passing yards, more total yards, you know, less interceptions thrown.
Yeah, more first down. Yeah, you're right.
Time of possession was plus 10.
The game in every facet except they fucking couldn't score because they didn't know how to call plays.
Yeah. And then
the field goal.
So, yeah, end of the game. Not end of the
game. Oh, my God. My father's still talking about it walking out of my front door.
I mean, it's unbelievable. You are down 8, and you have the ball on what? I don't even know where they were.
It was first and goal from the 8. They ran 3 plays, got no yards. 0,
right? So, okay, right. So they were on the 8. You are down 1 possession with 2:09 left, and it's fourth down, and you're down 8, and you kick a field goal to go down 5? Like, what? Like, what are you doing?
Show me that chapter of modern analytics. I'd like to see how that works.
Yeah, show me the chart that shows you kick a field goal down 8 with 2:09 to go. Like, what was he hoping to accomplish?
I honestly think there was a little. Is that the actual time? I thought there was more time. Was there more time?
Maybe it was 4 minutes.
That being said, let me see. No, you're right. It was 2:05. Wow.
Yeah, 2:09. Yeah, 2:09. Crazy. Yep. Yeah, you're essentially assuming that you're getting a free timeout.
Your defense is stout, and right. You're going to get an easy 3-and-out, which you – no.
No. And then they didn't even kick – they didn't even, like, kick it onside. Like, at that point, kicking onside. Like,
you gave them great field position the whole game anyway. You might as well just keep that trend going.
Well, and you know if they get a first down or first down plus one, whatever, one plus 4 downs, five downs, essentially, they're going to win the game.
Yeah.
Might as well try. But you had a chance to tie the game. You were in the 8-yard line. Like, what are you doing? It is.
Well, now, the second down play was there was pressure in the backfield, and he didn't leave the pocket. He could have left the pocket. He forced an incomplete. And then the third down play, there was just so much open field on the right. He never would have been touched.
I know.
And he didn't leave the pocket. And he forced the ball to, I want to say it was Adams. And
in the back of the end zone.
Two defenders. No, on the third down play, he threw it. It was like at the goal line. And 2 Tampa Bay defenders got their hands on the ball.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And I mean, just a terrible decision.
Right.
How does he not run there? He runs. We watched him score with his feet last week.
Like, yeah, and even if you don't get, even if you don't get there, like you get down to the 1,
then you go for it on 4th and 1. Exactly. 4th and 4 would have been better than 4th and 8.
Yeah, it was brutal. And like I said, they were lucky to be in the position they were, because Tom Brady could just kept throwing interceptions. But as an NFL coach, and everybody's had to make on-the-fly decisions and everything that they do, and obviously everything is second-guessed, and had they stopped them and then gone down and scored a touchdown, they would have won and didn't have to go into overtime, but that's not how it works. You got to play to push the game forward, because if you don't get it, you're still in the same position outside of the two-point. And the other thing is, they went for two back when they were down. Was it 11? When they were down 11 or whatever it was? I can't remember. But they were chasing.
It was just too early.
Yeah, they were chasing points in like the third quarter, where they would have just kicked the extra point.
Buffalo did the same thing late in the game. I know it was three scores when they scored, but it was just, if they would have just kicked the extra point and then they got the onside kick, then they were down 16.
Right.
And instead, they were down 17. It's just, oh, God.
Right.
Well, why don't do it till you have to?
Right. And that's, yeah. So, yeah, Green Bay scored a touchdown. They went for two, and they didn't get it. And so they were down five. And then Tampa Bay just came down and kicked a field goal, and they went back down eight. So it was like, why not just kick that? Anyway, it doesn't matter. We don't need to go over it back and forth. Really dumb decision by LaFleur. And just, you know, it seems like a nice little bow to tie on Green Bay's season of nothingness once again. And Aaron Rodgers, once again, where are you, dude? I mean, where's this second Super Bowl? We're still waiting.
It's going to be his legacy now is that losing NFC championship games. That is his legacy at this point.
Yeah, this was home. I mean, he was home against the Giants back in whenever they won in 08. There's a lot of them. I did see.
Right, but not championship game, though.
Was that not
championship? That was the divisional round. But still, this was his first home NFC championship game ever.
Really?
Wow. Yes.
Look at that. Way to use that advantage there, Rodgers. And they had fans in the crowd.
Crazy. They had fans in the stands, man. I'm telling you, I don't know. I really don't know what to say. Again, I mean, Fournette was good back-to-back weeks, but a lot of missed passes to Evans, you know, both games. Godwin's the only one with over 50, 60 yards in this game. He had 100. It's just strange. They're finding ways to win. The Bucks, give them credit. I mean, they're the five seed. They worked their way into the Super Bowl. Good for them. But I think they could have if the Saints or the Packers would have just played, not even their best games, just played a solid 2020 Packers game, they won.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right.
I mean, they shot themselves in the foot for four quarters, and they never capitalized on gift interceptions and turnovers. I mean, they were tipped. One of them I would say is Brady's fault. There was a tip, and, right. You know, it's just it's unbelievable. And then the Breeze last week, it's like one of my buddies texted me. He goes, "This is destiny, man." He goes, "Brady's got to win the first home Super Bowl game ever." And I'm just like, oh, I'm nauseous. You're right. I think that was like in the second quarter. Yeah. After going into halftime after they scored the touchdown, I'm just like, I read that and I'm like, he's right.
Yeah. And that's what, when before we even started this conversation, when I was looking through the stats, like, I mean, Brady was 20 for 36 for 280, three touchdowns, three interceptions, one sack. And Fournette had 55 yards with Ronald Jones having 16 yards. And like you said, Godwin had 110, but it was a very pedestrian type of game for the Tampa Bay offense. And granted, yeah, I mean, they had three turnovers and you know, they did the things that they needed to do when it counted, you know, the pass to Scotty Miller, like we talked about at halftime. But yeah, they need to play, I think, their best game at this Super Bowl. But we will get into that next week, so... So let's move on. Anything else with that game, TM? Oh, I was going to bring up, sorry. Anything else from you? There was a little news snippet here. Oh.
What are you talking about?
So they came out with the interview with Aaron Rodgers came after the post game, and essentially
Did you see him reaming out one of the sideline judges?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like
he was.
Oh,
pissed.
Let's mention this. Let's just mention this one factor in this game. Also, there were no flags in this game. Like
there
none.
Weren't?
There were none until.
Oh, until
that pass interference.
The pass interference.
I'm sorry, it was really too blatant not to call.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Well, that's at first glance, it didn't look like much. And then, you know, essentially, I mean, it was a pretty blatant hold.
There's six penalties for 38 yards in this game. The Bucs had two penalties for 8 yards. I mean, that's impressive. So, but that being said, there were a lot of calls that should have been made and weren't. So when you're letting them play, I think sometimes you got to let them play all the way. It was a late flag. I don't know. I'm not making any excuses for the Packers, but for them to just be crying and bitching about that after the game.
No, that's bullshit.
I'm sorry. Go home. Go home, 12-year-olds. I've heard enough of your nonsense. You guys fucking suck. Tell me about this interview, because I'm expecting, and maybe not from what you're about to say, but in the near future, you know there's going to be a riff again between Rodgers and LaFleur, because you know Rodgers is an idiot. It's never his fault. He's a baby. So yeah.
It was nothing more than that. I mean, I'll read the first two little lines here. It says Aaron Rodgers refused to make any guarantees regarding his future with the Green Bay Packers after Sunday's loss, and quote, "There's a lot of guys' futures that are uncertain, myself included. That's what's sad about it most. Getting this far. I'm going to have to take some time away for sure and clear my head, kind of see what's going on with everything." So, anyway, and granted, you know, I think he's just leaving the door open. You know, you don't want to say too much. And, of course, he's pissed. But maybe that decision by LaFleur, like, gives him a, like, what the fuck are we doing? How are we not, you know, going for it? You have Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback, and we're kicking a field goal.
Yeah.
On the 8-yard line.
How did he? It didn't seem like I didn't see anything on the sideline. Did he throw a fit?
No, I was trying to kind of watch him, and I think he was upset with the pass interference, like we talked about there in the last drive. But no, I don't know. I wasn't paying real close attention. But more will come out. I mean, that's the nice thing about the NFL. Is there's a lot of movement in the next month. You know, the year, the 2021 official year starts like the beginning of March. So contracts have to be traded and all that, and signing bonuses. So we'll know a lot more over the next couple weeks. And with that, we will also have our Super Bowl, which we found out tonight. And I was going to say, against all odds, your Buffalo Bills, everybody, have not defeated the Kansas City Chiefs. And it's sad.
Oh, well, now we can get on with our lives. I've had enough of this bullshit.
They were kind of put in their place here tonight, huh, TM?
I think so. First drive, you get your three, you get a stop. I'm sorry, you don't. Yeah, you get a stop, you get the ball back. You get stopped, and then Hardman muffs the punt. Now, you score immediately. All right, feeling good. 10-0. Oops, I just hit the goalpost. 9-0. Now, I got to tell you, again, in the end, they were still going to be down 16 or 14, no matter how this played out with 2 minutes left and yada, yada, yada. It was a long shot, but you need to make your fucking extra points, because the Bills also went for a 2-point conversion when they didn't need it, and it completely backfired mathematically. Who's making these calls? Who's doing the math? I don't understand.
Yeah, and even Romo at the end of the game was like, "What are you doing?
Yeah,
like, go down two scores. Keep yourself in the game."
Yeah, then they get the extra point, and then they like the next place for like 20 yards.
Yeah,
not the extra point, the onside.
Yeah,
and then the next place for like 20 yards down the middle. I'm like, "Oh my god, they can't score three times."
Right,
they could have scored twice. Like, it's just so frustrating. Then he throws the pick anyway. So
it didn't really matter. But yeah, so. Again, watched on and off the first half of this, was more in tune kind of leading through the second quarter to the second half. But the long and short of it with this is field goals wasn't going to do it. And that's what you had to know. You had to punch the ball in. The Bills just were not moving the ball efficiently. Just everything.
I didn't like the field goal at the end of the first half either.
Right. Just
it was 21-9 and they kicked a field goal. I mean, what are you doing there?
So my argument with that, and I was having this conversation with my wife here, was you can't go all that way right after Kansas City had just punched in another touchdown to go, you know, 21-9. You can't go for it on fourth and where were they? The six or the four, wherever they were, and come away with nothing. Like, give yourself a little bit of morale boost. Get yourself within a score or close
still
to a score.
Still two scores.
Still it's two nine scores. Points. Yeah, still two scores. But I don't know. Give yourself a little bit. So, all right, we got this. Let's go. But I just was very unimpressed. And I haven't watched as many Bills games as UTM or, you know, any of the listeners. But Josh Allen, man, even on throws, like, he needs to step into his throws. Every throw was off his back foot. And we saw it. How many times did he take 15-yard sacks? He needs to step 15, up in the
like
pocket.
30.
Yeah, just terrible. Just terrible. Step up into the pocket. Let your tackles actually push the guys around you and give yourself a chance to make some good throws. And the kid's got an incredible arm. I mean, some of the throws he made, I was just like, holy shit, I cannot believe you made that throw off your back foot when you didn't need to, you know? Mm. But
this is what I'll say about this game. I mean, I wanted them to win. A few minutes into the second quarter, I think it was when Chiefs hit 14, I live bet $100 on the Chiefs -1.5 for the first half. I was like, I know exactly where this game is going. Buffalo's not going to be able to keep up. So Buffalo has had games like this. The Pittsburgh game is the one that I'll point out. Kind of an iffy first half. Can't really get the offense going. Defense is playing pretty well. So you do enough to keep yourself in the game, go into halftime, come out, and be that offensive team that they can be and take the lead and not look back. They did that a lot this season. You can't do that against the Chiefs. So as soon as KC got to 14, I was like, oh no. Because the only reason that the Bills even scored the first touchdown was that turnover. They weren't moving the ball. And I've never seen them like get it together before halftime. And I was just like, nope, they're done. I'm like, they're gonna get buried here. They're not gonna be able to keep up with this team. So I made the bet, won my money. And kind of just sat back and let my wife yell at me for 2.5 quarters.
Now, you mentioned something pre-show, and this was the loudest eruption in the entire household here was it was Kansas City's last touchdown when literally Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce were standing in the end zone by themselves.
It was so ridiculous. These guys were just running. Kelce was running around the field open for the entire game.
Like, what is happening? Like, what we mentioned this last week about the Cleveland Browns. Like, what was the game plan, Bills?
Well, why is Micah Hyde on a guy two times his size? Like, where's Milano? And they were blitzing late in the third quarter, fourth quarter. And like, me and my dad were counting. We're like six guys, seven guys. And nobody's covering one or the other of those two.
Did him a lot of good, too, because Mahomes was 29 for 38. Like, holy shit. And, you know, Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce went for 300 combined. And granted, you know, Tyreek had that 60 or 70 yard run, but still, 9 for 172 for Hill and 13 for 118 yards for Kelce. Like, you got a job to cover two guys. And I understand. I have never been a Tyreek Hill fan, but the dude is just, dude's amazing. I mean,
he's lightning fast.
And he's got vision, you know, that he knows what his speed can do. And I don't know, man. You got one, and it's not an easy task. And you know, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that, you know, you should hold him to 17 points, but do something. There's that meme out there with the stick guy, the stick figure who likes, who's poking at something. And it's Bill's defense. Come on, do something. Anything. Let's go. And we've talked about it. I think, you know, the Bills are going down the right path. It's just not their time yet. But, you know, the Bills and Josh Allen will, for the foreseeable future, have to deal with the Kansas City Chiefs. And until you figure out how to handle them, this will be a recurring theme.
Yep, the Bills are very one-dimensional right now. They don't have a running game. When Zach Moss was there, he was not a solid runner. They need a running back, and they need defense. I think everything else is kind of there for them. The offense is good. They need a running back, though, to just stabilize the attack and not rely constantly on Josh Allen throwing at Stephon Diggs. And then, you know, you just need more defense because you need to draft or sign or trade to cover the Chiefs. I mean, that's what you're trying to do now. I mean, you're right. They are the team. Listen, Dan Marino never made it to a Super Bowl after his first season. All those years, Buffalo was going in and losing in the Super Bowl. They were beating the Dolphins along the way.
Yep.
So there's always going to be somebody. So you got to figure out how to beat them.
That's right.
And you got to win more regular season games because, you know, when we're back to full capacity, Kansas City is a tough place to play.
Yeah. Nobody wants to travel.
You got
to
get them out of their comfort zone on the road in the postseason.
That's right. That's right. So, TM, before we sign off, this is just a quick show, everybody, quick recap, but we did have a couple voicemails just from tonight. Some live reactions from this game. So let's listen to those real quick. Here we go.
Nice.
On the 42-yard line is four down.
How about those Chiefs?
Dynamite drop in, Monty. It is fourth down.
Unbelievable.
Come on, Woodall. You're fucking at the game. Like, a little bit more enthusiasm, please.
I appreciate the fact that he took the time to call.
I agree.
While he was there enjoying himself.
I agree. We did get another call.
Oh, no.
And this is, I think, the area code's the same. So.
If this is Chad D.
No.
Okay.
It's not. This is a Chiefs call.
Here we go. Okay.
How about those Chiefs?
Is that the same guy? What?
Super Bowl bound, baby. 2021 coming at you. Super Bowl 55. Chiefs are back in it. Just want to call and talk about this game. What a crazy game. Bills, you know, hey, what? They good game. They came out pretty strong, but Chiefs, once they got settled down and got going, it was over. And this team has impressed me with my CETA stuff. I mean, I know we haven't seen it all year, and it's kind of – I knew it was there. And I was like, these guys are just where they've been trying to get all year. So I knew they could do it. Hats off to Bills fans. I mean, I think they had a great season. You know, I think, like I said, they played well. But, you know, I think that lack of playoff experience probably hit them a little bit tonight. But you know what? Hey, I'm sure they'll be back. Anyway – Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl, and that's all I've got. And just on my way out, just want to say, hey, go ahead and play that Bill song for Jared E. one more time because I know she likes it. And why not give them a chance? Because, hey, they had a hell of a year, but Chiefs are going. I'll see that Chiefs fight song too if you got it. And if not, you'll have to look it up. But anyway, I'm out.
Nope. Bye. Nope. Now, I want to replay something here. The best part about this call, TM, is the fact that Patrick tries to say that it was a good game and tries to give the Bills their props. And just listen to him. He just cuts his thoughts short because he can't see anything nice.
How about those Chiefs? Super Bowl bound, baby. 2021 coming at you. Super Bowl 55. Chiefs are back in it. Just want to call and talk about this game. What a crazy game. Bills, you know, hey, what? They came out pretty strong, but Chiefs, once they got settled down and got going.
He literally stops just like, okay, let's talk about the Chiefs.
Yeah, he's like, nothing to add.
Oh, God. But no, I will not be playing the Bills song.
No.
Fuck the Bills.
It's over. Season's over, bitches. Stephon Diggs, get off the field. What are you doing?
Yeah, what was that all about?
That's weird, right? I thought that was like TV footage, but then I realized it was Brandon sending it from the stadium.
Weird. But yeah, congratulations, Chiefs. I will not be playing your fight song.
Nope.
And I guess that's it, TM. I got nothing else. We will talk more about the Super Bowl matchup next week or 2 weeks from now.
Can I get a quick reaction from you on the Stafford news and the Dan Campbell press conference?
Oh, Jesus. Do I have to?
Are you sad to see him go?
You know, it's weird. So I've said it all. Like I've said,
you've been saying it. No, you've said it all along. I know. When I saw the news, I wasn't like, oh man, I got to reach out to PJ. I was like, nah. I'm like, he knew this was coming.
It's weird. Like when I saw the news and that it was like a mutual agreement and it sounds like it's happening. First off, it's terrible for trading. Like, I mean, you better hope there's multiple teams that are interested. Otherwise you've already shown your cards, but I was thinking about like our Lions season tickets now. And I'm just like, oh, like really? Like, I got to go through the next couple of years. And I've been talking and wanting and waiting for a rebuild, you know, type thing. And now it's kind of sad. I'm going to miss the ability to, like, go into every season with the possibility of doing something special. But we've been waiting 12 years. And it's time. So no ill will towards Stafford. I'm surprised he didn't request a trade earlier in his career. And it'll be very interesting to see where he lands. And we'll do that maybe, you know, one of the February shows. The QB carousel is in full effect. It's unbelievable how many spots are open and where everybody is
getting talked about. A lot of A-list starters going to be moving again.
Yep, a lot of teams could get really good really fast. And it's kind of scary. My team, not one of them, but we will see. Dan Campbell, you know, whatever. I always think about what is the movie? The Justin Timberlake movie, the Friends with Benefits movie. I always think about he gets his big promotion and he like comes to the office and he takes the door off his office and he's like, my door is always open. He's like, I read it in a book. I always think about that when I see these press conferences. Like, these guys feel like they have to make a statement or do something to make themselves stand out.
Well, yeah, because everybody, when they heard he was hired, everybody said, well, who the hell is that?
Right. And it's,
I mean, I didn't know who Brian Flores was when he was hired. I just knew he was from Belichick. So
I'm done analyzing.
It's not a bad thing.
Yeah, I'm done analyzing GM roles and coaching hires because you know what? The guys that we don't think are going to be any good end up being good. And some guys who we think are going to be really good are really good. And some guys who we think, like everybody was on the Matt Patricia train. And that we saw how that turned out. You know, and you know, look at like Mike Vrabel. He's done great things with Tennessee. it is what it is. You know, you get sometimes you get that Andy Reid who moves from one place to another, but I'm just done. Just show me, you know, and maybe he's the guy to get us through this mess.
I think, yeah, the first thing you got to be is a player's coach. Yeah. And from there, you have to use that. You have to command that respect in a way that gets these guys to play for you. Because if you don't have that, as soon as the season turns south, you're fucked, man. I mean,
right.
And that's just basically, like, look at Gase.
Yeah.
Completely just like shat out of two organizations in the last 3 years. Just because he's not a player's coach and he's an asshole.
Right. You look at your coach, right? I mean, Flores, you guys were out of it last year. Got you guys to play hard, win, you know, whatever it was, the last five games or five of your last, whatever it was. And it just kind of rolls into the next season. It gets guys on your side, gets them to want to play for you. So listen, I don't need Campbell to be, you know, talking about biting kneecaps and all this shit, but I have seen what I keep track of is I'll watch player tweets about his hires, right? So, and I don't, did you see the news? So they're expected to hire the Chargers ex-coach, Anthony Lynn, as their OC.
Oh, which, boy.
Hey, you know what? Justin Herbert fucking blew the doors off this year. And whether that was him or not, some guys are not made to be head coaches. And some guys are made to be coordinators.
Yeah, no, you're right. Look at Todd Bowles. Todd Bowles' defense is now in the Super Bowl. Eric Bieniemy's offense is one of the best in the league. Well, he didn't fail at head coaching yet, though, but still. Yeah,
Bowles did.
No, I know what you mean. Yeah,
there's guys all over. So we'll see. No. I don't know. It's bittersweet for Stafford. I hope he lands somewhere where it's a good situation. People are like, he could get traded. We could trade him to Houston. I was like, Houston doesn't want him. They just
He should go to Indy.
That's it. He should go to Indy. And there's one other landing spot.
Or let Rodgers go to Indy and he can go to Green Bay. And then
please
you can
no. Stay out of the North. that would be the Lions move to trade him to like Chicago. Like, come on.
Anyway. But yeah, quarterbacks and head coaches. We'll have a lot of talk about in the offseason. But next that's week. Right. So our normal Tuesday drop this week won't be happening. Look for PJ and I to be guesting on BingeCast commentaries with Pete. We're going to be doing a football-themed film. Don't spoil it. I won't spoil it right now, but it'll be coming out. I'm not sure the release date, but Pete wants to time it around the Super Bowl. And then Pete will be joining us on our show for Beat Pete MC, the annual
Super Bowl
prop pool that we do. Yep. Compete with Pete to try to win. I don't know. I don't know if Alex even sent out prizes next year, but we'll figure it out. And the annual Super Bowl Bonanza preview show.
Hey now.
Will come. Yep. We'll drop February 2nd. So a week from this coming Tuesday. So stay tuned for that. We'll maybe have a guest. We'll figure it out. I wanted to have Carrie on, but that's not going to work out now. So. We'll figure something out.
Yes, that is true.
Maybe we could have Aaron Rodgers or Josh Allen on because they're not doing anything for the next few weeks.
Zinga!
Choose too soon.
All right, everybody. Thanks for joining. We'll catch you guys next week. And as always, find everything else on the station or on the podcast network and look for things. Changes to come. Changes to come.
Yeah, get in the Patreon. Patreon deal is sick now. It's only $5 for all access. Definitely check it out. And the first Patreon-only happy hour is coming this coming Friday also, which I believe we're both going to try to make an appearance on. Yes. So check that out as well.
Yes, sir. All right, let's get out of here. Happy Football Sunday, everybody.
You've been listening to the Binge Media Podcast Network at BingeMedia.net. Support the show by donating on Patreon at Patreon.com/BingeMedia. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Buy some merch at BingeMedia.net/shop. Subscribe to our newsletter at BingeMedia.net/newsletter. And don't forget,
I didn't stop giving hand jobs because I wasn't good at it. I stopped giving hand jobs because I was the best at it.
I can't do 2 weeks of Brady, man.